We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and oh, I put my education hat back on, and oh, we're going to talk reading, and oh, I'm a former developmental therapist, birth to three, then I've done and taught reading for X amount of years. So my guest today, Lori Lynn, is an early childhood educator, and she really tries to raise a reader, and we're going to talk about today, top four things families can do to raise a reader. Lori Lynn, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Neil. I appreciate it.
And you know, I understand the importance of reading and especially teaching reading for X amount of years. And I think we miss a boat in a lot of ways of immersing young readers, don't we?
We do. And it's sometimes just lack of time. And it's sometimes just lack of understanding how simple it can really be, actually.
Exactly. How simple and how you're able to do it. So let's talk about four things families should do to raise a reader. And what age are we talking right now?
I'm talking, my expertise is preschool through, well, even ages 2 through 7-ish. Yeah. Preschool through.
I worked with those youngers, especially when I was a developmental therapist, birth to three. And I also worked in the age group of, you know, in teaching sometimes those younger kids when I would do substitute teaching. So I understand as an elementary ed teacher. So what's the first thing?
Well, the first thing is to let them see you read, right? Children need to understand the purpose for things. We all need to understand the purpose for when we're learning things. I train teachers as well. And when you ask yourselves, why aren't teachers picking up on the things we're learning? It's because they don't really know why, and they don't see a purpose for it. And so you really have to be good about showing teachers a purpose for what they're learning and to change their behaviors. And it's the same for young children. They need to see a purpose for reading. And the easiest way is just talk about what you're reading. How many times do we read a recipe and or the back of a food container to see what the ingredients are? Let them see you talk about it and say, I'm reading the ingredients because I want to know what's in here. So I'm feeding you healthy things.
That's okay. No, that's not a problem at all.
I'm so sorry. All right. And so that's really important to do. And also, I'm just going to kind of move down here.
That's okay.
I'm babysitting my grand dog, actually. And he's 100-pound golden and he's big. And so he's not quite used to my house, but he is on us actually. But so that's the important thing. So like when you're at the grocery store, talk about the things you're choosing and why, and yeah, let the children see you have a purpose for reading and let them see you read books. And those other things that you, magazines, newspapers, things online, of course, but it's better to minimize as much online as you can because we get enough of that. So just to think about, you know, when you're washing your clothes, what are the ingredients or what are the materials in your clothes and why are you washing them a certain way? Those things you do every day, just let them see you read and have a purpose for that reading.
So true. Let them see you read. So what's number two?
Number two is pointing out the print in your environment, which is a step beyond just letting them see you read it. That's what you do when you can do that in the car, right? Just pointing out the stop sign. Children learn how to write STOP pretty quickly if you're pointing it out to them and say, oh, that's stop. And see those letters, STOP. Those together say the word stop. And my boys actually learned to be backseat drivers by reading the signs. They would see speed limit 45 and they'd always look to see if I was matching that, right? So I'm like, well, I guess they're reading their environmental print. That's a good thing and keeping me honest. And so things like Target, Walmart, you know, when children say, hey, that's Target, really say, you are reading. Let them know you're reading. And they'll go, oh, that's reading. Absolutely, that's reading. Because so many children say, I can't read, but you know that says Target. How do you know that? Well, because of the red line. So all those environmental print things. And when children begin to see themselves as readers, then they gain that confidence in their ability. And anytime we gain confidence, we're more brave and we're braver and we are motivated to try more. So that's number two. Number three is, of course, then you read to your child. And don't let that, I always tell families, don't let that overwhelm you, because my saying is one book is enough. One book is truly enough if you do it every night. Now, it's going to probably lead to more books, which is wonderful. But how many parents are working, you know, sometimes 6 to 6, and they come home and they have to cook meals, and then they're thinking, oh my gosh, I need to read books, and it's another chore. So if you can relax into the fact that it's about the interaction with your young child, that closeness, the joy, the comfort, the warmth they feel with you and a book, to say that is hugely important to their motivation to read and their comfort in reading. So just pull them close, have a soft place to, not only for you to breathe slowly, but for them to just take that breath and settle into a book. And it's an intimate conversation, right?
Yes.
Reading a book is an intimate conversation. And actually, speaking of conversations, this is another point that I actually should make 5 points, Neil, that I'm thinking about this, because just having conversations with your child is important, because people don't know this. I didn't know this till about 6 years ago, that oral language is the basis of all early literacy. So talking to your child is actually helping them to be a good reader, because it builds vocabulary, right? So the more vocabulary they have in their brain, then the more they're going to be confident when they come across those words and know what they mean.
All right. And number four.
And number four, let's see, it's utilizing the power of music. And that's why I wrote the book that I wrote, I'm a Pig. And the power of music is pretty well known, especially now with YouTube and TikTok and all those. We see these elderly people with Alzheimer's that they forget lots of things. But when it comes to sitting down at the piano or hearing a song, they remember it, right? And everybody's always surprised. But there's research behind that, because the brain... And when you hear music, it involves all of the brain. Both sides of the brains are lit up. So music lights up our brain in ways that nothing else can. So my background is music. I was a music major for 2 years, and then I became an early childhood major. And it's perfect blending for me, because in the early childhood classroom, I used my guitar and my music all the time, which is where I wrote most of my songs that are on my CD, is in the classroom or with my own children. And I saw in the classroom, when children would get a book that was based on a song, they were like, they weren't reading, typically reading, but if it was a book based on a song, they'd like, oh, I know that. And they'd pretend to read and feel really confident.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where can people find information on you? Where can they go?
They can go to overallbuddies.com, and everything you need to know will be there. My book is called I'm a Pig, and it's based on one of the most requested songs. And I did some really specific, intentional early literacy things in there. And I always wished I could have done this in my 30s when I wrote that song, but a lot of life happened, and I'm actually a grandma at this point. And the good news is I know so much more about what makes a quality book than I did when I was 30, because of all my experience and trainings myself. And so it's really a good thing. And there's purpose in life, right? To everything there is a season. And now this book I wrote has so much intentional quality early literacy strategies in it, but it's also really fun. And so that's something you can find on my website, as well as my YouTube videos that have won awards, which is nice. And so I'm a Pig was a international songwriting competition finalist. And so I just got in this only about 7 months before COVID. So you know what that means. So it was going really strong for about 7 months, and then whoop, like every other business. But we're getting back at it.
All right. Okay. So I appreciate you coming by, and thanks for coming on the show.
I'm so sorry. Thank you so much, Neil.
You're welcome. You're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.